So as been mentioned, we are reading from Galatians chapter 3, and this can be found on page 1170 in the Church Bible. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. By faith or by the works of the law? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law, or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. The righteous shall live by faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The law and the promise. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say unto offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterwards, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it is no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise.
Goodness me, that's a big chapter, isn't it? Thank you for reading all of that. As Ian said, we're going to have the next three Sundays just on this chapter. I trust you feel, having heard it all read, it certainly warrants at least three Sundays for all the treasures that are here. Which was not a bid to say, why didn't you give me more weeks? Three is just plenty. For this morning, we're just going to focus on three verses that came towards the beginning. So let me, having very helpfully had the whole chapter read, Let me now read our three verses, then I'll pray, and then we'll get down to business. Three verses from verse 7 of Galatians chapter 3. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Let's pray. Lord God, your word, frankly, can at times seem to us both, in a sense, all too simple, and yet, in a strange way, all at the same time, almost too complex. Lord, thank you that there are truths here that the simplest child can understand. There are depths here that the greatest mind could never in the end get to the bottom of. We ask for each of us, wherever we are, whether we feel we have a small mind for these things or a powerful mind, whether we feel we have a warm heart or, frankly, a cold heart to these things, we ask that we will find you breaking in to our thinking, and much more than that, into the depths of our souls and our desires as who we want to be as people, and that you will bring a great and powerful truth to us this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. A man I knew once in church, not this church, it's a church in another part of the country. This man always felt that he never really belonged among the Christian people in church. He felt that he was from the wrong kind of background. He had not had the same kind of upbringing that he imagined most other people in church had had. He felt that the kinds of people who were his friend, well, they were the kind of people who the people in church wouldn't like. And because he felt that he didn't really belong among the Christian people in church, he wasn't sure if he really belonged to God. Now, my friend had some misunderstandings and some hang-ups. But one thing he was dead right about, and that is to belong to God, you have to belong to the people that God calls his own people. To belong to God, you've got to belong to the people who belong to God. Now, this morning, in this little section in the letter to the Galatians that we're focusing on, we're coming to a part of the Bible written by the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it to some Christians, well, in a place called Galatia. It's in part of modern-day Turkey. And when we read the whole letter, what we discover is Paul was writing this because he knew that these Christians, well, they're Christians, but they've been unsettled by some teaching that they've been hearing. A group of people had showed up in town, and they were telling the Christians, well, you've heard a message about Jesus from this man Paul, but what you've heard from Paul about Jesus is wrong and misleading. That's what they were being told. They were hearing that trusting in Paul's message about Jesus, well, it's all very well as far as it goes, but it is not enough to make you a full member of God's people. That's the teaching that was unsettling them. So you've got three groups of people. You've got the Apostle Paul himself. You've got the Christians in the church. You've got the teachers bringing this message that was unsettling the Christians. Actually, all three of them, whatever they disagree about, all three agree on one thing. To belong to God, you've got to belong to the people who belong to God. Well, I'm sure you see the big issue for them was this. In a messed up world, what marks someone out as really belonging to God's people? The big worry that had been stirred up among these Christians in Galatia was this, and it's really like the worry that my friend had, that's why I told you about him at the beginning. The worry that had been stirred up among them was, do I really belong to God? Well, I may have come to church. I may even be someone who really does want to trust in the Bible's message about Jesus. But is that enough really to make me someone who belongs to God in this messed up world? There were people in this church back there and then who were unsettled in that way. Surely there are some people, at least here this morning, who deep down wonder the same thing about themselves. Well, I want to show you that this is what the message of Galatians is all about. So here we are, we're on page 1171 in the Church Bibles, chapter 3, verse 7. See how verse 7, he's wanting to reassure them. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. It's pretty clear, isn't it? The whole point of that verse is to tell us who the sons of Abraham are. Now that may not be a worry that you brought with you this morning to church. Am I a son of Abraham or am I not? Not something we probably worry about consciously on a daily basis. But you see, this issue of being a son of Abraham or not, it is really, within the context of the Bible, it is really to do with something that ought to be our concern on a daily basis. Because what it is to do with is, do I belong to God's people or not? Now, many of you will know already how that fits together. Some may not. Let me explain that. You see, if you know about the history of the beginning of the Old Testament, well, what do you find there? Well, early on in Genesis, after Adam and then Noah have been and gone, the next major figure is this man, Abraham. And he becomes the founding father of the nation called Israel. Do you see, he's the founding father of the people who belong to God. So to ask, am I a son of Abraham, is to ask, am I a legitimate descendant of Abraham? It is to ask, can I really claim truly to belong to God's people? So do you see, although the first time we hear this read, we may think, well, that frankly seems a little bit distant from my life. I'm sure you're seeing now, I trust you are, it's not distant from our lives at all, ought not to be. If the Christians back there and then in Galatia, and if you and I here and now are to be confident that we truly belong to the people who belong to God, then we have got to be confident that we can legitimately claim to be the right kind of descendant of Abraham. A friend of mine tells me that his dad always claimed, I'd like to sort of, you know, drop this in with people he met, that his family are descendants of Oliver Cromwell. My friend isn't quite so sure that that's not just some family myth. Well, you know, if that's sort of said in your family, that's not something that you absolutely have to be certain about, is it really? You can believe it or not, I guess, depending on whether you're a fan of Cromwell or not. Not an issue I'm particularly bothered about. But whether or not you count as being a descendant of Abraham is much more vital, because that will determine whether you are a member of the people who truly belong to God or whether you are deluding yourself about that. Well, now into Galatians. And, well, we've already seen in verse 7, Paul sets the issue out very straight. Here's our first sort of headline for this morning. There it is on the screen. Know this. Trust in Jesus is what brings you into God's people. Trust in Jesus is what brings you into God's people. That and that alone. Hear it again from verse 7. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Now, if you're looking carefully, you'll see our verse talks there about those who are of faith. That means people who are marked by faith. People whose lives are characterized by being based on faith. Now, you see there on the screen, you've heard me say it. I'm explaining that as meaning people who trust in Jesus. Now, I need to explain how I'm making that link, how I get from people of faith, explaining it as meaning people who trust in Jesus. Well, let me show you that from what Paul has been saying just a moment earlier in Galatians. Look at the very beginning of chapter 3, where he begins, frankly, by having a go at them. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? You see, we have to let God in the Bible tell us what God means by faith, by that word. And I think we can sort of see that in a rather clearer contrast if we contrast it with how people tend to use the word faith in kind of everyday conversation. I'm sure you've heard this kind of thing. You may even find yourself saying it yourself. Someone may say, I wish I had your faith. Which often translates, I think, as I wish I had the gift of believing in impossible things, but I can't because I'm a realist. She's a woman of great faith, someone may say. Which often translates as, she sort of admirably and foolishly always thinks it'll turn out okay when obviously it's not going to. Well, when the Bible speaks of faith, it means nothing like that. See how in the beginning of chapter 3, faith is all about believing, that is trusting, in a message that you have heard. And what is the message that he says you have heard? It is the message of Jesus Christ crucified. Something else too in those opening lines of chapter 3. This believing the message of Jesus crucified is contrasted with something that he calls works of the law. Well, now here's what's going on. When you think about heaven, about you beyond the grave, are you planning sort of to say to God when the day comes, I should be in heaven because I've tried to do the right thing by my family and friends? I'm sure it'll be said to me at my funeral, you know, he'd do anything to help anybody. That's the kind of person I am. Is that the kind of the thing you're sort of planning to say to God about why you should be in heaven? That is what Paul calls trusting in works of the law. It is not the distinguishing mark of someone who belongs to God as a Christian. A Christian may be like that, but it is not the distinguishing mark that makes them a Christian. Or instead, when you think about heaven, are you planning, as it were, to say to God, I should be in heaven because Jesus was crucified in my place for me, and that secures the forgiveness I need? That is what the Bible calls faith. Trusting in Jesus and trusting in him alone to put you right with God. So now, with that background, so we can know what's going on, back in our verse 7. Do you see what a reassurance Paul is giving to these unsettled Christians who are wondering, do I really belong to God anymore? All I do is trust in Jesus. Does that mean I belong to God? Is that enough? Faith, that is trust in Jesus, is exactly the thing, all on its own, that if you do it, makes you a member of God's people. If you read on and read the whole of this letter to the Galatians, you'll discover that these Christians were being told, well, trust in Jesus is a reasonable start, but you've got to add some extra things that you do that will securely mark you out as belonging to God. It's as if they were like someone who had already got and fitted in their homes the most secure front door lock known to man. It has been tested against the world's most sophisticated housebreakers, and they just could not get past it. 100% guaranteed burglar-proof for good. It's fitted on your home. You can rest in your bed secure. But weirdly, you just think, that's not quite enough for me. So you go out to buy to B&Q, you buy a 50p rubbish little bendy bolt that a child of five could get through, and then you add that. And then you go, now I feel secure, because I've got two locks. Well, how pointless, how foolish, if you have already got the one thing that makes you utterly secure. If you trust in Jesus Christ and in Him crucified for you, you have done everything, you have everything that is needed to bring you securely into God's people and keep you there. Now, a new Christian can come to question that because it can seem too simple. As a new Christian once said to me, too simple to be true. Long-standing Christians can come, strangely, to question it because it can come to seem too ordinary, too familiar, too, as it were, I'm used to that. To do the thrilling job of bringing you into God's people. But the words of a great hymn put it beautifully. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Know then, whether for this morning it is for the first time or for the umpteenth time, it is those who trust in Jesus who belong securely in God's people. Well, now, how can this be? It can seem too simple to be true. It can seem too familiar to be thrilling. How can it be that trust in Jesus all on its own brings us into God's people? Well, here's Paul's answer in the next words he writes. It's through our trust in Jesus that God justifies us. It's through our trust in Jesus that God justifies us. See the beginning of verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. The Gentiles simply means all those people in the world who are not Jews, not physically descended from Abraham. If they have faith, says Paul, if they trust in Christ, they are justified. Now, we're just going to pause for the next couple of minutes on that word justified, because it is such a crucial and glorious word. Justification by faith is one of the great phrases from Christian history that has come down to us. Long ago, it was said to be the truth on which the church stands or falls. It's one of the fundamental truths that caused Protestant churches like the Church of England to be founded in the first place. Justification by faith. For many of us, this will be very familiar. For others, it might just be a phrase you've vaguely heard. Understand it like this. Justified means being put in the right with God. In and of ourselves, we are not in the right with God at all. See, the really serious thing about us is not the top 10 list of things you've done you're most ashamed of. The really serious thing about us is more serious than that. The really serious thing is the ingrained attitude that runs right through our spiritual and moral DNA that says, I don't really want God to be God in my life. I want to be God in my life. Natural humanity is in rebellion against God. We are in the wrong with Him. Well, it follows we need two things. We need the punishment that's due to us for that rebellion to be taken away from us. And we also need a life that actually does live out being in the right with God. Well, now here is why Jesus is Christianity. Because Jesus is in Himself both of those things that we need. He takes on Himself the punishment we deserve. That's what He did on the cross. And in His perfect selfless life that you can read about in the Gospels, He lived the very life of rightness with God that we should have lived and haven't. Well, now, if that's who Jesus is in Himself, do you see what happens? If someone puts their trust in Jesus, God then sees you entirely through the lens of Jesus. God declares that the punishment due to you has been taken off you by Jesus in His death for you. And God sees you through the lens of Jesus' perfect life. His life lived every moment in the right with God, so that His life extraordinarily becomes your life too, from God's point of view. If at this point your head is spinning, I want to say, good. But think of it perhaps in these terms. Think of the words said by a bride and bridegroom to each other in a wedding service. All that I am, I give to you. Everything I have, I share with you. That's what Jesus says to us when we put our trust in Him. My death, my punishment bearing death, is a death for you. My life of perfect rightness with God that I lived from beginning to end is now yours as your life. Then we are in the right with God, because we are in Jesus Christ. And the only way you get there is by putting your trust in Him. Paul has actually said one little line a little bit earlier that sums this up wonderfully. Just look at chapter 2, verse 17. 2:17. Do you see? He talks there about our endeavour to be justified in Christ. It is through our trust in Jesus that God justifies us. So trust in Jesus brings you into God's people. How so? Because it's by our trust in Jesus that God justifies. That's where we've got to so far. Well, now, it's a wonderful truth, but someone may be asking, well, who says so? The Apostle Paul, well, he preached this message. Christian preachers have preached it ever since. I'm doing it again this morning. But had Paul just made it up? That's what he goes on to address next. Still in verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Well, now here is our third headline. This is not made up. It is God's consistent plan. Not made up. It is God's consistent plan. Through this letter, Paul calls his message about Jesus the gospel. And you see what he's saying to them? He's saying to them, you've heard me preaching this message to you about Jesus. I call it the gospel. But let me tell you, this same gospel was preached centuries before I ever got here, even centuries before Jesus. It was preached when God said to Abraham, "In you all the nations of the world will be blessed." You see, Abraham himself was justified by faith. God's way of dealing with Abraham all the way back then is exactly the same as God's way of dealing with people here and now. It has not changed. You could imagine, couldn't you, some of those people in Galatia, they're unsettled. This man Paul has come and preached Jesus to them. They might be starting to think, did he just invent that as a kind of message to sell to us so we'd have a bit of a religious following and it's that that gives him his kicks? Is that what's going on here? But you see, justification by faith is not just the way certain people like to talk about God, because it kind of works for them. If you're a Christian, you probably know people who think that about your faith. They think that, well, the things that you believe about Jesus are just the kind of things that work for people like you, and that's fine. It's just, they're not like you. That's all right, live and let live. But the Bible will not let us get away with that kind of relativism. See, right from the very beginning of God's plans for his world, his plan has been to say everyone is on the same level. Everyone has to face the same reality. Everyone is presented with the same gospel, that you have a need to be put right, justified. You can be put right, and the only way it will ever happen is through faith in Jesus Christ. This is not something that people dreamed up. It is God's consistent and persistent message. We've had three headlines. Here is a final one. As Paul brings these short verses together with a simple conclusion. Verse 9, let me read it. "So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So here's the headline: trust in Jesus makes you the same as faithful Abraham. Trust in Jesus makes you the same as faithful Abraham. What was the thing that really marked out Abraham in the eyes of God? Was it that he did a lot of religious kind of things? Well, read about it in the Bible, you'll discover he built religious altars. He did do those kinds of things. Did he kind of go the extra mile and do some kind of real, almost kind of painful religious stuff? Well, yes, he did. God told him to be circumcised as an adult, as a physical mark in his body that he belonged to God. If you read in Galatians, it's that actually that these teachers who are unsettling them are getting all excited about. But it was none of those things that in the end marked him out as the father of the people who belong to God. Now, you see, according to verse 9, the thing that marked him out was, what are the last two words? He was a man of faith. Sure, he had his ups and downs, but in the end, he was a man who built his life on trusting in God. So when someone trusts in God, we already know by now, don't we, what God does for them. He justifies them. It's exactly what he did for Abraham. Verse 6 tells us so. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So if you trust in Jesus, you are doing exactly what the great founding father of the people of God did long before Jesus. You are trusting in what God has shown you. You share the distinguishing family likeness of God's people. And because of that alone, you share in all the blessing of God's people. God has justified you simply because of your trust in Jesus. I began by telling you of someone I knew who never quite felt that he belonged to God. Well, whatever issues he had, whatever issues you may have, the only one thing that really decides whether or not we belong to God's people, and it is only one thing according to God's word, it is not to do with how we feel. It is not to do with the end result of our comparing ourselves with others. It's not to do with things that we can measure and count and somehow prove to us how well we've done or how badly we've done. It is none of those things. Whether or not we belong to God's people is only ever to do with this. Do you trust in Jesus Christ and in nothing else? Because if you do, then you stand surely, completely, securely justified within the people who belong to God. Now, I've seen that on the service sheet coming up, there is a terrific prayer. I guess Ian chose it. It was very, very well chosen. It will summarize these things for us. But before I hand back to Ian, let me just leave a moment of quiet. Maybe this is something you want to step into for yourself for the first time. If God is, as it were, gently nudging you in that direction, can I urge you to do that right now in prayer to Him? Maybe you need to, as it were, reaffirm this truth for yourself. Whatever it is, in the quiet, let's pray for ourselves to God in our own minds. And then I'll close with a short prayer. Let's pray. Now, Lord God, we praise you for these extraordinary truths and realities that you present to us. Even in this moment, as the living God who comes to us in your word, Lord, please will you open us so that you may do in us the work that is needed to bring us to rejoice in being justified. Maybe a step further back to bring us to admit that we need to be put in the right with you or else we have no hope. Lord, whatever that right work is, will you do it in us right now before we head out into whatever the rest of this day and this week will hold for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.